How's everyone doing this fine, beautiful Sunday? Good morning, everyone. Good morning to Bird Park Church. It is great to see you today. What a beautiful day to be out here doing church. Couple quick announcements. actually, we'll have the band come up too. I know tomorrow is Labor Day, but the most important thing is only 111 days until Christmas. Okay? Can we get an amen? Come on. I don't know if you guys love Christmas as much as I do, but 111 days, that means it's time to buy your Christmas tree. All right? Critical thing right here, buy your Christmas tree. All right? You get 10% off if you do it now, anytime this week, I'm sure next week too. Any way you can buy it is possible. You can go to the post office. There's a QR code on the table. You can go online. You can yell at myself or Katie. We'd love to get you a Christmas tree. Those will be given out in December, but now is the time to order. And that's one of our biggest fundraisers, as it turns out, for the church. And a lot of the work that we do here is made possible by the money that we raise from those Christmas trees. So we'd love your support. Speaking of support, the men, and we'd love your prayer for this too. The men are starting a really awesome intensive 3 days starting tomorrow. There's 10 of us. And we put a call out for some food support and all that, and it was filled, which is awesome. Yeah. I hear we're going to be eating cookies and croissants, so we're excited for that. But keep the men in prayer as they go through that the next couple days, that their hearts would be open, that the Lord would kind of just show them the heart of the man and what that looks like for them. And before we worship too, we have some visitors today that we are thrilled to have here from abroad. Part of our family in the country of Georgia and Mexico, and we're going to hear from them and what God is doing in those two countries specifically. So you guys want to worship as much as I do? You guys need something to get going today? Let's do it. Stand with me and let's worship.
Awesome. Thanks, Reed. And I know for those that are watching this recording, sorry it didn't get on live. We're having some connection issues this morning. And so we will be posting this as soon as we can after the service today. But also for words, as you sing along with us, if you scan those QR codes on the tables, that'll get you the lyrics on your smartphone that you can follow along with us if you so desire. But let's turn our attention to him and praise his name in this place this morning. Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress, you are my portion, you are my hiding place. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe through every blessing, through every promise, through every breath I take, I believe that you are provider. You are protector, you are the one I love. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are. Yes, I believe you are. Sing out these words here. It's a new horizon. It's a new horizon. And I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come to, because they can't stay long when I'm here with you.
It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come too, because they can't stay long when I believe you are the way, the truth, in the Father's love, destined to die, poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, but suffered as if he all authority, every victory is yours. All authority, all authority, every victory is yours. Say your word. Worthy of
band for the band, please. They do such great work bringing us to the Lord in worship. And this morning we want to acknowledge that, yes, the Lord is here. He is always here, right? No matter where here is, here may be there. Well, if that's the case, then he is there as well. But he is here this morning. And so, yes, how blessed is everyone who does indeed fear the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Peace be upon the people of the Lord. And all God's people said. And this week has been anything but peaceful, hasn't it? It's been terror for a lot of people around the world, especially even here in the United States with last week the Hurricane Ida and the effects of Ida as it traveled not just into the south and made its landfall, but carried across the United States into the New England territories. And we want to keep all of those people definitely in prayer. Amen? But what power? You know, what destruction? What devastation? And as we all know, in the middle of all that power, all that destruction, all that devastation, there is a place of incredible peace. And what is it called? The eye. The eye of the hurricane. And in a very subtle way of analogy, many of us live daily with such wicked power all around us, all against us, not realizing that in the middle there is the eye, there is the rest, there is the peace that God offers us if we would just acknowledge perhaps the fact that he is there with us, that he is here with us. Just that acknowledgement alone, it's an amazing difference what that does to your heartbeat and to your blood pressure. Take it from me. It's amazing. We have to understand that eye. And it's interesting. It seems that there are other Christians out there who live mostly in that eye of the hurricane. You know what? I would like to be one myself. And I'm beginning to understand that, yes, in this new life I've kind of begun to live where I'm actually slowing down. I'm actually spending more time with God. I'm actually spending more time in his presence. And that becomes more and more important to me. That eye seems to grow bigger, or at least I spend more time in that particular eye than in the wind walls. And you know what? It's much nicer there. You've been there. You've been through it, briefly maybe, perhaps. But you know the truth. It is much nicer there. And that is what the peace of God offers to us every day if we know him as our Lord and Savior. Many are able to find that peace. And it's interesting because their kids seem to grow up straight and strong. The husbands of those families who find that peace don't think of having an affair. The wives don't want to run off, to escape. And most of all, their lives are never dull. They're never ordinary. They're never unexciting, even though we think that that's kind of what that life would be like. But it's not. It's interesting because it's the same winds and the same forces do affect them, but it affects them differently. And I don't know whether it's because they have one foot that's constantly in that eye, or they know how to take relief into that eye at very, very important times. But they do engage the world. They do engage the evils. And they're the ones that are actually helping us the best to do the same. They're the ones that we turn to in need. There aren't many of these folks, but in every church you find a few. What is it that these folks have that we don't have? They have their own burdens, and yet they share other people's burdens as well, and they do it so peacefully. Rudyard Kipling referred to them as the Sons of Martha. Have any of you read Kipling's poem, The Sons of Martha? Do so this afternoon. You can look it up on Wikipedia. But do so this afternoon. It's marvelous. I'm going to read part of it here for you right now, okay? The Sons of Martha, seldom bother. I'm sorry, the sons of Martha. The sons of Mary seldom bother, for they have inherited that good part. But the sons of Martha favor their mother of the careful soul, their mother of the troubled heart. And because she lost her temper once, and because she was rude to the Lord, her guest, her sons must wait upon Mary's sons, world without end, no reprieve nor rest. It is their care in all the ages to take the buffet and cushion the shock. It is their care that the gears engage. It is their care that the switches lock. It is their care that the wheels run truly. It's their care to embark and entrain, tally, transport, and deliver duly the sons of Mary by land and main. They say to the mountains, be ye removed, and they say to the lesser floods, be dry. Under their rods are the rocks of reproved. They are not afraid of that which is high. They shake the hilltops to the summit, and then is the bed of the deep laid bare, that the son of Mary may overcome it, pleasantly sleeping unaware. I'll jump to the last verse. And the sons of Mary smile and are blessed. They know the angels are on their side. They know in them is the grace confessed, and for them are the mercies multiplied. They sit at the feet, they hear the word, they see how truly the promise runs. They've cast their burdens upon the Lord, and the Lord, he lays them on Martha's sons. I get from that, and I love to talk to Kipling. I put him on the list of those, you know, seven or whatever, the important ones you want to talk to in heaven, and ask him about that. Because when you think of Martha and Mary, yeah, Mary came and sat at Jesus' feet, but what was Martha doing? What she was supposed to, right? Serving others. She was serving others, and especially had in mind of serving the Lord. So Jesus didn't really scold her for what she was doing. It was what she was kind of scolding Mary for doing. And so I think Martha, with all of her go-get-it-ness, with all of her kind of understanding of the others and her needing to help the others and the call of her Lord to help others and to love others, I think she did spend time like Mary did. And I believe that she did understand the importance then of knowing God's word and of knowing him. But do you think that was going to stop her? Do you think that that was going to quiet down her disposition? Do you think that was going to stop her drive of what she understood the Lord gifting her with? No. Or do you think it enhanced it? And that it made her even that much better of a servant of God, fully a servant of God. So according to Kipling, the answer to the question, how is it that certain people keep such a calm life, is that simple. Those who obey are blessed. Those who do not are not. It's obedience. It's obedience. But is it that easy? Is it really that simplistic? Jesus, our Lord, our living Lord, puts it this way in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The action of building is still there. And it's a very important part of that whole thing. It's listening to the Lord in the building. It's listening to the Lord on how to build, where to build. It's listening to the Lord in the strength that that building is going to maintain then by listening to the Lord. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And what about the house built on the rock? Ah, it made it through the eye, through the other half of the storm. It made it. Kipling sees the sons of Martha as those who have learned to build their lives upon the rock, which is Christ, but still look out for others in times of need. In the hurricane, if there is chaos, is damage, in the hurricane is danger, the rock is the eye of that hurricane. And those who live there cling to that rock and take strength in doing it and build upon it. But it is really Is it really possible that anyone could be that obedient? Can we be that truly obedient? How can anyone have a life like that without going astray at one time or another? Well, let's consider it this way. We can't be obedient all of our lives, right? We know that. We try hard. We fail. But could we be obedient for an hour? How about, can you be obedient for about a day? Can you be obedient for a whole week if you try really hard? Do we dare say that we can be obedient for a month? Well, a month is our practice for obeying this one command of the Lord, and that is, do this in remembrance of me. In taking communion. And that's what we want to think about right now. That's where we want to head right now, because it is September, is it not? And it is the first Sunday in September. And it is our practice that at the beginning, the first Sunday of every month, we join together and strengthen our family by uniting together in the Lord's Supper. So you who are at home, others who are here, if you have not picked up the elements, please do so, so that we might be able to indeed dine together with the Lord's Supper. A month is our practice for obeying his command. Each first Sunday of the month, he tells us to examine ourselves and then take of his supper. And as we do so, examine ourselves, and we do so now, we realize the bread is our strength and our sustenance. The cup is our salvation and our sinlessness. It's only by his strength that we are sustained, that we become unstained. For he sustains and he forgives us. He cleanses us from all sin as we confess that sin now. And he gives us comfort, the sweet comfort of knowing we're God's children, we're welcomed here as his family. Often as sons of Martha, we really can't explain how it works. We just do know that it does work. And obedience to God's command is often like that. His way is perfect, he tells us. Even the most obedient and prayerful of Christians would tell us that there are times when the perfection of his way is anything but visible. Although we cannot see it, we do obey it. He tells us his way is perfect. He never promises that we'd understand how. But we cling to the rock, for the hurricane has no power over it. Nothing on earth has power over it. And all God's people said, Heavenly Father, again we gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ to remember the extraordinary sacrifice that you made, number one, in sending your son Jesus. And your beloved son, he came here to make his personal sacrifice in dying for us, for our sin. And so we thank you and we thank him for his legacy in words, action, and obedience to suffering on the cross. Lord Jesus, as we eat the bread and take the cup, turn our hearts to you. Turn our faces to the rock of ages so that we may find our cleft in the rock and watch the hurricane from within the eye. We come to learn more from you, God, how to protect ourselves from evil and focus on what is good, what you desire. And we invite you to inhabit our hearts now as we wait on the words that you have for us this day. Bind us together as one family, focused on you and filled with your love. Thank you for your grace that is at work in our lives. And all God's people said, amen. So as the band continues in our worship this morning and the Holy Spirit continues in your heart, it's talking to you, then when he gives you the right, dine with the Lord.
Hurting, broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar.
The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen.
What a Savior.
The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with blood of Jesus.
Oh, come, come to your sweet altar. Oh, His forgiveness and mercy is so sweet. There's not a day He's not wooing you.
Bear your cross.
Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Draw me close to you. Let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way, bring me back to you. Say that I'm your friend. You are my desire.
You are my desire.
No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Find a way, bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want.
Said. Amen. Well, kids, you guys are dismissed to head towards that second chimney back there area for your Sunday school. And then we are going to be hearing just shortly here from a couple of our missionaries, which we're super excited about. But right before that, I just wanted to mention one last announcement for us this morning. Those couple songs we just sang speak so much of this opportunity coming up before you guys. Every second and fourth Tuesday of the month from 6 to 8 in the church sanctuary at Avalon Community Church, we're going to be gathering for an opportunity for a couple hours to go deeper after God's heart and who he is and who we are with him. And, you know, that Jesus is calling us, right? Or just, you're all I want, God, right? I'm all in for you. And to come to discover that, what does that look like? What does that mean? How do I get to know him? You know, what is he showing us? And this 2 hours, it's a little bit of a change from some of our Tuesday nights, if you've attended before. We're going to spend a little more time so we can also dialogue a bit with each other and really kind of unpack that some and helping each other discern some of those things as we get into the scriptures together and as we get into prayer. So get excited about that. It's a couple Tuesdays away right now, but second and fourth Tuesday of every month, and we'll remind you of this, 6 to 8 Avalon Community Church. So that is starting back up very soon. I also love that people answer the call, not only to their lives to God, but the call out to the world. And to take the message and the truth to nations, including the United States here, but out into the world, into the nations. And we're going to get to hear from a couple missionaries coming back. I'm going to bring Tyler and Anna up to start us. They just came back. Yeah, give them a hand. They just came back from their missions in Mexico. And just after they get done sharing, we're also going to bring up Dennis Holt, who is visiting from the Republic of Georgia out there, the nation of Georgia. And so we're going to be excited to hear from him in a little bit. But I'm going to start off here with Tyler and Anna, so I'll let you guys take it. Do you want to just hold it? Or?
I'll just hold it. Hey, thank you guys so much for letting us come and share a little bit about where we've been and where we're going and what God's doing down in Mexico and in our lives as well. Anna and I are just so grateful to be back here and seeing you, all of you who have been such a huge support to us. It's always good to be back and be in this church. So for the past 6 months, roughly, Anna and I have been down working, well, we've actually been students with Youth with a Mission, commonly known as YWAM, at a base called Rancho Abierto, which is right outside Ensenada, Mexico. We've been part of a family DTS down there, which for those of you that know YWAM, the family aspect of that is fairly new. It was also the first bilingual family DTS that YWAM has done. So it's been really great being part of that first school, that just kind of that launch of something that is something fairly new for Youth with a Mission. So it was great to be part of that school. Just touching a little bit on Ron's analogy, as well as the Word's analogy of building your house on the rock, as well as finding that center in the hurricane, I think that is a really great analogy for what a YWAM DTS attempts to do, is they take their students into this discipleship training school and give them the rock to build their house on, as well as give them some of the hurricane to see what it's like to lean on that rock. And so for Anna and I, it was just a huge blessing and a goal of ours, because we've only been married a little over a year now, but to really get started on a solid foundation. There's a lot of stuff I'd love to talk about, but I don't want to eat up a lot of time. But essentially what we've been doing the past 6 months is we went down to this ranch in Mexico, and for the first half of that 6 months is what they call the lecture phase, where there are teachers from all over the world that will come and teach on different topics pertaining to discipleship, such as the nature of God, the humanity of Jesus, being able to learn how to listen to God well, and lots of other different topics. And then the second half is to send those students out and have them do ministry work in the nations. YWAM is a international organization. In our school, we had 8 different countries represented. In our team alone, we had a German family, a Mexican family, us, and a family that was from Tennessee, which is basically a different country. But so it was really great. It was also really, really hard. It was really good that we had spent that first half of the year learning with each other, so that we could go out and work with each other and learn a lot more about each other, usually the hard way. But I think that's just one of the strengths of the discipleship training school, is just it gets you in a really intense environment where everyone is geared to love God and to make God's love known to others. It's a very small taste, I believe, of what Jesus was doing when he took 12 guys from all different backgrounds for 3 years and tried to get them to work together. That's a huge accomplishment that I think we kind of gloss over, is how different each of those disciples were. And that is something that gets highlighted in the international nature in this school, is that there are just difficulties that come up, and one of the big things that one of our teachers is telling us is, like, those difficulties are planned in there. Those are planned by God to make you grow, to make you learn how to love one another even better, and how to work together for the good of the kingdom. So for the past 6 months, we have been with 5 other families, some of who have lots of small children, which has been exciting for us to be part of that community, and has also given us some great tips as we look forward to starting our family. So, yeah, I would say that it's been a really good experience for us, regardless of whether you're just starting your walk with God, I think it's a opportunity to look into, or if you are farther along and just want a time of kind of intense Christian community, you know, I mean 24/7 is just, it's really a beautiful thing. It's hard for me to describe. I apologize. I'm not the best public speaker, but I'm great one-on-one, so if you want to talk to me later, feel free to come chat. Anna's going to talk a little bit about what we have coming next for our family.
Yeah, so, sorry, that's loud. During the school, we were really asking the Lord what he would have for us next, and he made it pretty clear to us that he wants us to stay at this ranch for at least the next year and help with the next school that they're having in March. So we've been spending this month, well, the month of August, kind of traveling the states, visiting family, and also doing support raising to be able to go back down there and get ready for the next school. So we have until March to prepare for this next school, and there's a lot to do, a lot to get done. Like Tyler mentioned, this is the first school that they've ever had, this one that we were part of. So there are a lot of things that need to be prepared for the next school. So Tyler's going to be doing a lot of administrative stuff. They really need help with preparing a budget and getting just a lot of different systems in place. It's a huge job, and I think it's going to occupy a lot of his time for the next few months. And so, yeah, it's a huge, huge need that they have. And then during that time, I'm going to be helping kind of maintain ground stuff. They have a little garden there, so I want to help kind of build that up, hopefully make it more productive so that we can have more fruits and vegetables and stuff that we can kind of live off of and hopefully grow. We have some animals there, just some rabbits and some chickens, but we would love to maybe add to that as well and make the ranch maybe more self-sustainable. So that's kind of what I'll be helping with, and then just kind of maintaining grounds and cleaning stuff and getting our little house set up. We are expecting a new addition to our family in February, so that's exciting and scary. So we'll also be kind of getting ready for that as well over the next few months. So we're going to be heading back this Wednesday. We'll be driving back down there and kind of settling back in and getting ready for the next school. So we're really excited. We're really excited to be a part of what God's been doing at this school, and just seeing even this past year, seeing how God has worked in the families that have been there, how he's worked in us, in our relationship and our family, has been just a huge blessing and a huge gift. So we're excited to be able to go back and continue that as staff instead of students now. So we would really appreciate your prayers, just praying that as we get back down there, that we can use our time well and wisely, that we can really get prepared for the next school. And also, if you would be praying for us as we're support raising for full time, that's very different than kind of raising support for, you know, 6 months. So if you'd be praying for us, we would really appreciate that. And we also have prayer cards and kind of our latest newsletter that we've printed out. So if you guys are interested in that, if you're interested in following along what we're doing, we would love to share that with you and talk to you after service too. So yeah, we would love to share, talk with you guys. So thank you again for letting us share. We're excited to connect with you after service. So.
Thank you two so much. And we are going to bring them up after Dennis, just to pray over all of them and bless their journeys ahead. I am moving Dennis closer because he loves to be with you. So we're going to adjust the cameras here in just a second. And so...
I'll probably hold it, but that's okay. Oop, take the shade off. Can I start?
You are good.
Okay, want to make sure. Thanks so much, you guys, Tyler and Anna, for sharing. I'm inspired. I love to see young people excited about Jesus. I mean, we both work for the same organization, Youth with a Mission, and some of us are still youthful, and that's good. When I started, I was youthful. Actually, I'm from here on the island. I grew up over here. And it's exciting to see all of you, some new faces, obviously, some older friendships here. If you don't know who I am, yeah, my name's Dennis Holt. I grew up just up the canyon here, little house in a canyon called Quail Canyon. It's not there anymore. If you heard about the Great Catalina Fire a few years ago, it was the only house that burned. Aww. My house, yeah. And I was watching it from Russia. And it was like God spoke to me and he said, "You're never going home." And I said, "Okay, God." Because, you know, when God calls us, he calls us to full commitment. Whether, you know, when you first receive Christ, I don't know if you know, but he took everything. Everything you have belongs to him. Your soul is the center of your being, and we give that to God, right? And our lives and our hands and our works and the things that we say we should. And that's what God's calling us to, 100% commitment. So that's why I'm so excited about these guys that are basically leaving home, family, and going to Mexico. My wife and I, we did our discipleship training school, like they're talking about, in, just give me a 1 minute sign, because I'm not paying attention to the time, and I could go all day. We did our school in 1990 in a faraway land, third world country called Hawaii. And it was hard, yeah. And we did an outreach to Japan, and we did evangelism there and talked to Japanese people, learned to speak a little Japanese. I still have all these Japanese phrases floating around in my head that just pop out randomly. Sometimes we're singing a song and I go, "Oh, I know that in Japanese." It's how much it can impact your life, you know, doing a discipleship training school. So I highly suggest it, whether you're young or old, retired, or in the midst of your career, or you're young and you're just thinking, "God, what do you want me to do?" Go and spend a little time with the Lord. Get some training. Go in deep with the Lord, and you'll do that in the YWAM Discipleship Training School. I just want to answer a question that many people have. Since I'm up here and I have your time, have your attention, and you can't go anywhere too far, except for the guys that are in cars up there. You can pull out any time. Hopefully you won't. I love this. I love this. This is my first church experience in Bird Park. We did do one, I think, down in the old Cubs field a long time ago. Better remember, that was fun. And it's really exciting for me to see churches and believers of, you know, from every denomination come together like this. And for me, so this is a lot of fun. And seeing John, Carol Ann, everybody up there leading worship and participating in this. And yeah, it's exciting for me. So thanks for your invitation to speak. By the way, I'm back here. Very short time. My mom passed away. We had a memorial a couple of days for her. I didn't bring my wife, my kids. They're all back in Georgia, not the state, the country of Georgia, and I'll tell you a little bit about that in a minute. And so I'm just here on my own for a couple of days. And so, yeah, it's good to be with you. The question I often get is, why missions? Why should anybody go to the mission field? I mean, why? Doesn't the whole world kind of have their own religions? I had a man give me quite the lecture one day about why he didn't like missionaries, because we go in and we steal away people's cultures. And I'm thinking, no, that's not how it works. And so I explained to him that God created mankind. God created the heavens and the earth, and he created them for a purpose, and that is to know him. It says in the Bible that we are created in God's image. That means we are creative like him. We have many of the characteristics that he has because we're created to be his sons and daughters. We're not God. If you think you're God, I don't want to disappoint you. In a way, he has made us to be like him, to rule over the earth, to rule over the fish, the animals, to go out and make it a nice place. And as we look around, especially we're talking about some of the things happening right now, like in Afghanistan and things like that, you can see we've made quite a mess of it. And a lot of it is because we've taken off on our own and left God behind. But God created us in his image and put us in a garden. And the purpose of that was to be with us, to dwell with us forever, to adopt us as sons and daughters, to make beings that are like himself, that he can relate to. And if you're wondering what the message of the Bible is, that's the message, beginning to end, you and God. And even in those times when we see, like in the prophets, and they're condemning the people, they're condemning them because they've turned away from God. They've turned to idols. And he's saying, come back to God. He loves you. He desires to be in your presence. And if you wonder why God sent Jesus, it was so that he could come and he could break down that barrier between God and man. He came and died on the cross and took away our sins for those who receive him and say, God, forgive me. I want to know you. It breaks down that so that, once again, we can have a relationship with our Father in heaven. And there's an event that we're waiting for that may come tomorrow. It may come some years from now. It's the second coming of Christ. And again, the main purpose of that is so that he can come back and take those people who have embraced him and his salvation to be with God, with the Father, forever. Because that is his plan from beginning to end. So why missions? Because there are people all over the world that don't know God. There are people right here. Maybe right here in this place, on Catalina in California, around the world, but at the ends of the earth too, that have not had that chance to embrace Jesus. Maybe they've even heard the message, but it's never been said in a way that can relate to their hearts. And that's why God says missions. Jesus said, go and make disciples of every nation, and teaching them everything that I've taught you. So we go out and we talk about Jesus to people in various ways. In some ways, maybe on a ranch, discipling young people, or reaching out to Muslims like we do quite often, or working with children, reaching out to people groups. We work with Kurdish people. We work with Muslims. We work with Azerbaijanis and Turkish people and Southern Russian people and Georgians, of course. Many who have never heard the name of Jesus or have no idea who he is and don't know that God desires a relationship with them. He wants to call them into father-son relationship. For some of us, that's a very strange idea, especially if you grew up maybe in a broken home where you never really had a father that loved you. That's disappointing because that's not what God wanted for you. He wanted you to have a model of a father that would lead you to him. And so he comes and he says, I am a perfect father. I am not a father who will let you down, who will disappoint you, who will leave you. I am a father who will take you to my heart and love you forever. Never leave you, never forsake you. And that's the message of missions. And I highly suggest that you go to God's Word and you begin to read it. Read the book of John. If you haven't spent much time in God's Word, read the book of John. It's all about relationship. John had this great relationship with Jesus. And he's the one that at the Last Supper who was kind of leaning on Jesus, you know, and I could see Jesus sitting with him like this, you know. And so he, from that perspective, he shares the story of Jesus, the gospel, the good news. And I enjoy it every time. I read through the Bible over and over again. I just go from Genesis to Revelation, then I start again, and it takes me a long time. But, you know, it's my habit. And every time I get to the book of John, I go, oh, I can breathe again. This is good. This is all about my Father and me in relationship. The reason we go to missions is because God desires every person, every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people group to come into his presence so he can pour his love on them. So he can bring him into this intimate relationship with him. We see in Revelation chapter 7 this great picture of the end of all time. And it says every tribe, every nation, every tongue is gathered around the throne of God. And the angels are there and they're crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Salvation belongs to our God. And that's God's desire, that every tribe, every nation, every people, every person would be there with him for eternity. And sometimes we picture heaven maybe as some people have said, like playing violins up in the clouds or something like that. But if you can imagine the best day with your daddy, the best day with your daddy, that's what it's going to be like every day. Someone asked me one time, how old will we be when we're in heaven? And I think Wayne and I were talking about this a couple days ago. We all imagine that we'll be young and vibrant again, right? I imagine that. I'm still there, but, you know, getting on the backside of that, maybe. But I often imagine us as 3- and 4-year-olds. I said, whoa, you know, little kids just kind of walking around going like this because That's when you're most excited about your mommy and daddy, right? That's when you run, you grab his hand, and you're invincible. No one can touch you with you when you're with your daddy or your mommy, you know? And we have these grandiose visions of our wisdom and our knowledge and everything. But really, those little kids, they just have this excitement about their papa to be with him. Every day's a new discovery if you have a toddler. You've got one on the way, you know? Actually, I just found out my daughter-in-law is pregnant, so really excited about that, to be a grandpa, you know? I'm waited a long time for this. Believe me, I've been working for this for a long time. I had to get them set up, you know, my Dutch daughter and my son, you know. I actually said to her before she even knew my sons, I said, you need to marry one of my sons. And she looked at me and said, then I would get to be your daughter-in-law. And I thought, this is the girl. This is the one. And she didn't marry the one I thought she did. I thought she'd marry Seth, but she ended up marrying Jesse. And that's okay. And I love her to death. So. But can you imagine just being little again and thinking about these babies and how I love babies, especially toddlers. You know, you buy them a toy. Any toy is the best toy they ever had. You know, and being with dad is all you want. I remember when I was when my son Seth was little, and I worked at the Isthmus. I was running the campgrounds, overseeing the campgrounds. And every morning he would run to me, and he'd grab my leg, and he said, Daddy, don't go. Stay here and play with me. You know, and it delighted my heart. It made me cry at the same time because I didn't want to go. I wanted to stay and play with him, you know, stay home and make cookies with mom or whatever, you know. And I think that's the way it will be, and that's God's desire. That's his desire he wants to of a relationship he wants to have with you. We often get so caught up in these religious thoughts of, you know, God is some great man hanging around in the clouds with a white beard and waiting for us to step out of line so he can smack us down. That's not the kind of God that would send his own son to give his life for you. That is the heart of a father who would do anything to be with his son or daughter. And that's the desire he has to be with you. And I just want to encourage you, get back to that pure relationship. And that's what we want to preach to the nations. Go and make disciples of every nation is what Matthew 28 says. It doesn't say go get them saved. It says go and make disciples. And a disciple is a follower of Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus walking down the street? He sees Matthew and he says, hey, come follow me. And Matthew stands up and walks away from everything because he sees something in Jesus that is so attractive, he's willing to give everything for him. And you know, there's so many people that have never had that invitation to say, come, follow me. And that's God's greatest desire for you. And I can tell you, as Ron was sharing, that is the place, like he said, in the eye of the storm. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. If you follow Christ, you will suffer persecution. The devil will come after you. You will become a target. But you'll be holding your daddy's hand. And he will walk through every one of these troubles with you. And that's the message for us today, but it's the message for the nations as well. That is the Great Commission. So if you wonder what missionaries do, that's what we should be doing. That's what I seek to do. And the older I get, the more I realize that all my wisdom, all my knowledge is just junk. If I don't have an intimate relationship with Jesus, if I'm not leading people into the presence of God, I'm not giving them anything valuable. Because that's the place where they're going to find the fruits of the Spirit. You know, the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Did I forget one? Goodness, that was it. Yeah, righteousness is probably all those together. Yeah, and you want those things? Who doesn't want to have peace and joy? Okay? These are not things you go out and find and purchase, you know, at the store or on Amazon. You know, these are things that come out of having an intimate relationship with God the Father. He will give you these things. And these are the things that carry you through the storms of life. You know, like my mom just passing away. I have such great peace about it because she went peacefully. That's a comfort, right? But at the same time, I know that she knew the Lord. As imperfectly as she knew the Lord, Her Bible was next to her nightstand. Was there? I used it to preach last Sunday. It smelled like cigarettes. My mom was not perfect. If you think you're going to go to hell because you smoke cigarettes, I'm sorry. I don't see that in the Bible. God looks for people who love Him. He will work out the details in your life. You know, but again, as we serve Him and as we come into this intimate relationship with Him, then these fruits will come out in your life. And I could tell you, if you know God as your Father, nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing. Because I can tell you, I'm from here. I never had any vision to go anywhere. I worked at Middle Ranch. I was happy with that. I was a mechanic. I never thought I'd be any more than that. You know, my goal was to race motorcycles and to find a good woman and a good job. You know, I used to work with John's dad. So disappointed when I quit. I should not have quit that job. Could have worked with his dad longer. One of those things you kick yourself later for. But that's another thing. But God has a plan, even through our mistakes and our stupidity at times. If we will give our lives to Him, He will turn that around and use it for His glory. And I can be a testimony of that. So we live in the nation of Georgia. It's on the other side of the world. It's roughly 12 hours time difference. So right now it's 10 o'clock at night for me. So I should be getting sleepy pretty soon. And I will. I'm living off coffee right now. So a little hyperactive, maybe more than normal. It's the caffeine going through me. We have about 20 staff. It's been a rough time in the COVID time. You know, we've lost some staff. People have not been able to enter the country or gone out to the country. And it's been like that all through Youth with a Mission. So it's been hard for missions. But at the same time, God is using it, again, if we look to Him, to challenge us to new ways to reach people. So we're doing a lot of stuff online, Zoom meetings with our leadership around Europe. I'm one of the leaders of Eastern Europe, so I get together with all these big wig people. And the thing I like about them is they're not really big wigs. They're kind of actually very nice guys for the most part. And there we, if you know where Georgia, anybody know where Georgia is? Yeah, good. Two of us? Good. Three of us. It's right on southern Russia. It's not Russia, but it's just below Russia. In the Caucasus region, where the Caucasus Mountains are, in between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea. And from there, we do outreaches to all these Muslim nations around us, where, for example, Turkey, it's one of the most unreached people groups. We say unreached because they have very few churches, 75 million people there, and only about 15,000 Christians. And these Muslims are hungry for God. I find it much easier, as I was sharing with somebody yesterday, it's easier to talk to Muslims about Jesus than it is often religious Christians, those that have always gone to church and maybe have never really embraced the cross, you know, and they're so open. And it's such a time to be with Muslims and share with them. Even whatever you hear about the Taliban, those are a bunch of little boys looking for something. And you've got somebody who hands them a rifle and says, you can be a god and have all the women you want, and they embrace that. They need to find that, and they'll never be happy with that. They'll end up killing each other because they don't have Jesus. They never embrace that thing which God has created them for. And so that's what we preach, and that's what we do. And if you have any questions about that, from Tyler, Anna, myself, we do different things around the world in YWAM. We're very diverse. We have about 25,000 staff working in about 190 nations around the world, and there's some other people here. Raise your hand if you've done a DTS. Yeah, all right, we got one. Anybody else? No, come on. Shared in a DTS, maybe visited a DTS. John's been over a few times. There you go. Yeah, and you can talk to them, too, a little bit about that. Can I just pray for you? Okay. Father, thank you for this morning. Thanks for just this kind of casual time of sharing about missions, being able to be here on the island. It's pretty hard to argue with the weather that you've created over here, Lord. This is a beautiful place, and yet even here there's so many that don't know you. And Father, it's our greatest desire to know you and to make you known to others. So I pray, Father, that you would give us opportunities to do that. And even this morning, if there's people here that haven't really embraced you, Jesus, I pray that you begin to speak to their hearts right now. That you touch that deepest place, that empty place that they've been wanting to fill, that only your presence can fill. Only that loving relationship with you, Father, can fill. Forgive us when we blow it, when we make mistakes, when we do stupid things, Lord. I know that you're with us, just like a little child that falls down. You want to pick us back up. You want to dust us off, and you want to show us your love once again. Thank you. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
As we close our time together, first of all, I want to thank you, both of you that are, all of you that are right now presently serving through YWAM. It was a real blessing to be able to be connected with you guys, you know, and just see your journey. You know, I've known Dennis since I first came to the island in 1986, and to see what God has done in his life over the years is a total blessing. And then, of course, Tyler was a little guy when I first got a chance to meet him through his mom, dad. And then to see who he is, God has brought into his life has been a real blessing. She's really good with hand tools too. I'm very impressed with that. But anyways, yeah, what's that? Yes. And so what I wanted to do is I'd like to have the leaders. We're gonna basically have, if I could have both of you and you come up, and we're going to just pray a blessing upon you guys. You know, some of the message that was shared, a couple of things that really came to my mind is that there are two great things that God has called us to do, and one of them is the great commandment, which is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? And to love each other with that same love. And then the second thing he's called us is to proclaim the great commission, to tell the people in this world of how much God loves them and the plans he has for them. And so so those are two great things that we can do, and doing them together makes us balanced. When we do just one over the other and not do the other, then that makes us unbalanced. And that's the beauty of what YWAM does. They do a lot of great things for people, but at the same time, they tell them why. You know, why are they motivated to do these great things? And so thank you guys for what you guys are doing, and we're going to keep praying for you, you know. And as the Lord leads you to support, please, the two churches here on the island, Seeing Waters and ACC, we gather funds and we send them to continue to support them, but it's a total blessing. And so, and there's been faithfulness in all of you to be able to help them continue on with the work that God has placed on them. So if we can, I'm just going to hand this mic around, and if you guys would like to pray as you lead, and then I'll just close the prayer.
And Father, we do thank you for this morning and being able to hear what you're doing in these other parts of the world. And it's amazing that we have we continue to send out those that have been with us for a while. I mean, a long time. As we reflect back on Dennis's association here, and we find it fascinating that you're continuing to grow his family, and yet now we have new ones that we're sending out from families that that have been here for a while, and yet it's so much greater to be able to see the generations involved. And now they're growing also, as far as a family is concerned. So you are amazing. Your plan is amazing. Your plan for spreading the word of your son, Jesus, and the salvation that he offers is amazing. And it's amazing to be a part of it, whether we're actually out there in the other nations or whether we're here supporting those who have been sent. It is important, and it is part of your work. And so help us to continue that as one big family, and help us continue to see that we are indeed that family that is going to reach out to others and grow the family itself, much like these other families have been growing, to grow the family of God worldwide. That is your plan. That is your desire. That is what your son is waiting for. And so help us to be active in it, not just our feet walking, but also supporting those whose feet are actually doing the walking. And in our own communities, we pray.
And Father, I pray for your special provision for them as they travel, as they come to and fro, as they prepare to even have funds, like Tyler and Anna were saying, going into this next year to be able to serve down there. So we just pray for, you're the owner of everything, and so it all comes from you, and we can trust you in that. And so I just even thank you ahead of time for the ways that you are going to provide for them. And Lord, I pray for, as the message has come to us through both of them this morning, I pray for our hearts here in this place, first of all, to be open to that truth of who you are and who you've made us to be, Lord, that we would catch the vision as these have, to share that with others. Everywhere we go, whether that's here or whether that's abroad, Lord, we want to know you more. And I pray right now for the regions around where Dennis serves. Like he says, so many different religions there, but Lord, a lot of Muslims and others that they get to reach out to. And I just pray for open hearts. I pray for receptive hearts, like he's saying, where they're so eager to know. And I pray the same down in Mexico as Tyler and Anna have opportunity to share with those that are coming in to learn. One, in school, they're learning about you, but then how they get to go and share that with others in the nation there. And I just pray for receptive hearts. Turn all of our hearts, turn the world's hearts to you. I just lift that in Jesus' name.
Lord, the heart that you've put in these men and women is just a beautiful thing. And we celebrate your faithfulness in their lives and in their mission. And just thank you for them. And personally, I look to the own ways that you've placed in my heart, in our heart, ways that we can further your kingdom and bring more people to the life that you bring. And we thank you for these individuals here. And we pray for your continued faithfulness, welcoming a baby in the very near future, and just all that that brings. And in the midst of it all, we see you working daily, and we thank you for that. And bless these men and women as they continue in the journey.
And so, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for each one of us that is here, each one of us that is listening, whether it's online, just here, Lord God. Thank you, Father, that your desire for each one of us is to make a difference in the lives of those around us, whether you send us to another country or you just send us down the street or even within our own home, Father, but that we would truly make a difference, that we would truly love you with everything that's in us and love each other. And so, Father, give us those words to express hope and faith and love, Lord God. And so, Lord, we thank you for them. We ask, God, your continued protection. We ask, God, that that you would unpack the things that you have for them, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness in their lives, even in the midst of storms that they've had to encounter. Thank you for what they've learned in the midst of that, recognizing that you are right in the middle of it, Lord God, and you bring peace. And so, Father, lead them. Lead them by your Spirit, Lord God. I pray that they would be so sensitive to the promptings of your Spirit, Lord God, that they would go as the wind goes and that they would just move as you move them. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 All right.
Well, you will have an opportunity here to linger with some of them and just ask questions. If any of that stirred your hearts this morning, do spend some time with them before they head out today. And let's stand. Let's stand together as we close in song and head out into the world with his truth.
Oh, I hear Mike Cohen.
Thank you.
your faithfulness surrounds you.
All right, lift up a clap to the Lord. Praise his name. God bless you guys. Have a great rest of your day and weekend.